For the most part, researchers attempt to argue for computer intelligence by changing the test or casting doubt on the idea of human intelligence. He notes that when challenged, they are strong on indignation and weak in citing specific achievements. He also notes significantly that the AI champions, in their desperate struggle to salvage the idea that computers can or will think, are indeed in the grip of an ideology. They are, as they see it, defending rationality itself. If it is denied that computers can, even in principle, think, then a claim is being tacitly made that humans have some special property that science will never understand. A soul or some similar mystical entity. The key defect of this Turing test view is that human behavior does not really resemble computer programs at all. Consciousness is precisely what humans have and what computers, which are merely artifacts of human intelligence, do not have. Reading the literature produced by early computer enthusiasts, one gets the impression that they supposed that sheer computing power would somehow magically produce mind and consciousness, but they did not seem to understand the nature of consciousness well enough to see why that would not happen. To make any sense of human behavior, we must confront mind and consciousness, which means confronting beliefs, goals, aspirations, desires, expectations, and intentions, none of which is relevant to the functioning of computers. Self-consciousness, consciousness of oneself as an immediate subject of experience, self-agency, experiencing oneself as the cause of an action, and self-regulatory capacities are all characteristics of human consciousness that are irrelevant to the workings of computers. As conscious beings, we do not simply undergo experiences, we create them. A worm, bothered by light shining on its photosensitive spots, immediately seeks darkness. A human, faced with a similar unwelcome experience, may ask, "But must I flee? What if I don't? Can I learn from this?" No useful account of human nature ignores the significance of the fact that we humans ask such questions. What about free will? Materialist neuroscience cannot accept free will for a reason that is rooted in physics. In classical physics, only one state can exist at a time. Consider, for example, a woman who sometimes buys a newspaper on the way home from work. According to classical physics, she must proceed from one state to the next, governed by immutable laws. So if she buys the newspaper on a given day, it is because she must.